Good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of the Digital Commando Show. Once again, we've got some fantastic guests, and we're sticking with our veteran-owned businesses week. So we have got a veteran-owned business owner. Try to say that 10 times quick. So AJ is going to be joining us in a minute, and we may have another guest joining us a little bit later on. We will see, and she'll explain why she's late. So without further ado, let's bring in AJ.
Evening, ladies and gents. Stefan, thanks for having me on the show, buddy.
No, thank you very much for joining us and taking the time today. Guys, we've got some really, really good insights for everybody watching. So all that we ask, same on every show, is if you feel that you know anybody that could benefit from what we're talking about today, then please do tag them in the comments or just share the whole video of them. We would really appreciate it. Today, we're going to be talking about motivation. But before we go on to that, AJ, just introduce yourself to everybody or some of the people that might not know you.
Yeah, hi. Again, thanks for having me on. It's a great show you got going on here. I'm AJ Roberts, former British soldier from the Royal Engineers. I was in the army 15 years, served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now I spend a lot of my time as a sort of high performance coach. I do a lot of speaking to large groups, military groups, corporate, and I do a lot of like one-to-one coaching as well as coaching in groups as well. And I spend a lot of time as well focusing on philanthropy and charity work that I do out in Sierra Leone with a fantastic charity called Melville's Mission. So that's pretty much what I spend my time doing, is helping develop other people via, you know, coaching, speaking, and also my podcast, the Best Version of You, because I'm a big believer in constantly trying to be the best version of yourself on a day-to-day basis. And it's, if I can share that message and help more and more people do that along the way, then I'm winning, really. So that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. Thanks, AJ. You just mentioned there about the Mel Kosh mission that you've been working with. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that and the work you've been doing?
Yeah, so a friend of mine from the States went over to Sierra Leone last year, and I seen her photos and that on social media, and I thought it was amazing the kind of work she was doing and the help that she was providing along with the charity. And the charity Mel Kosh Mission International focuses solely on the amputees, the rape victims and war victims and their children from the civil war that was over there between 91 and like 2002, where, you know, hundreds of thousands of people were brutally murdered and amputated and just butchered, really. It's disgraceful kind of what happened. So the charity helps these people because they're kind of like the forgotten people. So obviously the people that got over the war, and even the people that ended up like doing the butchering and, you know, had really serious mental health problems, kind of got brought back into society, and the amputees and the rape victims and their families, you know, kind of really got forgotten about. And then the nation as a whole over the years kind of got forgotten about, you know, how society kind of forgets about, you know, bad catastrophes and stuff like that over time. Yeah, there's no media, there's no British troops on the ground. So they're kind of like the forgotten land. So Mel Kosh is now in its 12th year helping these amazing people. And when I seen my friend Nicole's social media post, I was really drawn to it. And then at the time, Faith, amazing person that she is, like devotes her entire life to this cause that she runs. It's a non-profit charity. She contacted me through my friend Nicole, and we got talking, and I said, look, you know, I'd like to come over and offer, you know, what I can do and how I can help people from a sporting and coaching background, obviously being a British soldier, and Sierra Leone being part of the British colony, you know, that we're very favoured over there. And I've been on the ground in Afghanistan and Iraq and places like that. So seeing poverty and stuff like that wasn't going to be new to me. I knew that from the start. So I got the opportunity to go, and I jumped at the chance and, you know, spent a lot of hard nights and days slogging it, trying to raise funds before Christmas, which is really difficult. Probably put the worst time of year to try and raise funds to go to a foreign country and help people, you know, foreign people, regardless of where they are. You know, a lot of people around Christmas time are kind of like, you know, charity starts at home you know, they're squeezing the pennies because of, you know, Christmas time and stuff, which, you know, I totally understand. same as corporate sponsors. And I lost out on a corporate sponsor right at the last minute. So we ended up having to fund a lot of like money ourselves and that, which was a bit of a bummer. But it was totally worth it. For me, it was a huge investment because I got out there and instantly, as soon as I got out there, I went over the blank canvas and I went with my guard completely down. And I got out there and I just made friends instantly. Like, you know, these people welcomed me into their homes and I did big talks with them every day about, you know, like trying to look forward through the front windscreen and not in the rear view mirror, things gone past, you know, how we've all had some form of adversity that we've been through, whether that be what they've went through, which is horrendous, or whether that be, you know, being in wartime as a soldier, whether that be, you know, witnessing a car accident or something, you know, like many people have been through some form of adversity. So I was really keen to sort of like be an outside source that can show them there is a way forward. You know, I spent some good amount of time in the villages with them, and I still speak to people in the villages today on WhatsApp. I daily get messages asking me how I'm doing. And
oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, they all call me Uncle AJ and send me photos, and it's amazing. And I continue to do the work now. So tomorrow is the it's like a worldwide day of giving, like Giving Tuesday. And currently, you know, we're in a really uncertain times at the moment in UK, in the United States, all around Europe, Canada, Australia, everywhere, like to do with this COVID-19. But, you know, these poor people, like, who have nothing as it is, are now in lockdown for like 3 days, which doesn't seem like a lot. They've already done a 14-day stint. But these guys can't get out and they can't go get supplies, and they don't have any money to get any supplies. So, you know, we've been raising funds for the last 6 weeks to help feed the families of these amputees, the rape victims, the children, you know, with rice and water, and getting the supplies to them. So the money we've raised, everything we raise goes literally straight into the villages via supplying the rice, bags of rice, the bags of water, the like things that you can use for sauces, and delivered on the trucks. So obviously paying for the logistics of it all and everything like that. You know, and the turnarounds were really quick. So like within a week of, they say, raising funds, like the next week we've got people on the ground delivering rice and water and, you know, urgent supplies to the, to these villages. So it's like, it's not, it doesn't go through some of these charities' bank accounts and then, you know, off to paying wages and this, that and the other. It literally goes like in and then straight to the people, which is what I love about the whole charity. So
that is, that sounds absolutely amazing, the work that you're doing there. We've got a question come in, and I'm going to ask it. It's Sarah Gibson's asked, I'll pull it up on the screen actually, which is quite strange. I'm going to say why I found this quite a strange question. Is there a particular person who's inspired you, a celebrity, a friend or a family member? Now, before you ask that question, I think what you're doing is quite inspirational. Like, I'm quite inspired by the story you just said then, and all the work that you're doing. And I think many other people would be. I think it's absolutely incredible work. And hopefully that will inspire other people, especially tomorrow. You just mentioned Giving Tuesday. Hopefully some people can go out there. And I've just dropped the link that you sent to me earlier on. When they go to that link, what will they find?
So that the link will go directly to the Melcos Mission Just Giving page, I think it is, or no, GoFundMe page, sorry, that Faith has set up, and it's for Giving Tuesday, and like I said before, any money that's raised literally goes straight to the people on the ground, you know, and that's via the, well, right now it's via rice and water and like desperately needed supplies, because, you know, the people are locked in the houses. And what people might seem to forget as well, like from an amputee point of view, they can't just like say, oh no, thanks for this money, I'll go to the shops and get some food. They can't carry anything, you know, because they're missing a leg, they're missing like an arm or a hand, and stuff like that. So it's really difficult. So all the logistics and everything is all carefully organized through like the pastors, who kind of are the leaders in the little villages and that. So they have like a little command chain, which is really cool. And it's all very well respected. And you know, they all help out, so yeah, it all goes via them. But answer to your question, sorry, about who inspires me, it was got to be 100% my grandfather. He's 97, he's a D-Day veteran. He was He was the second man to land on Juno Beach. Wow. Yeah, with the Canadian infantry. He's actually Canadian, and he was training in England along with the Americans and the Brits, like training for D-Day. And it was while he was training that he met my nan outside a hotel. We're so similar in so many ways. We've got, if I showed you, there's a picture of his wedding and then a recent picture of me, and I'm a spit of him. And we've got, we've got like quite a similar military career. You know, we both went to war and got married, then went to war. It was the same as myself. And moved abroad. Like me and my family lived in Australia. Like he moved to a foreign country. Like came to England. And
oh, amazing.
Yeah,
you find those similarities with family members, and I think we probably see that quite a lot, don't we? When we've had most, I know lots of the guys that I served with, they had their father, their uncle, their grandfather had served in the military, and generally, when you find people that actually serve more than kind of their minimum term, most of those people have got a bit of a family background in the military. I know for me, my grandmother and my grandfather, my uncle and my dad and my other uncle. There's all a big military family, so you kind of get stuck in. And I think that's absolutely great. That's really, really good to hear. Thanks for the work that you're doing. And guys, for everybody watching, jump on that link. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. So I know it's hard times at the minute, but I'm sure they would appreciate anything you can spare. And what would cost you a chippy tomorrow night is going to go a lot further for them. So, jump on that.
Yeah, it's great. And the work so far has managed to feed like 194 families. And you'll be amazed. It's like probably about equivalent to like £25 or like $35 will feed a family for a week.
Wow. That's incredible.
With rice and the water and all that money, like I said, goes straight to the people. So and that's what I love about it. Like the money we raised before Christmas went all towards big boxes of pure medication that we took over. So, and then we ran a medical mission for like 3 or 4 days in the actual villages where, people came and had like their blood sugar levels taken and blood pressures, any like problems they had, they were given like medication for that, which if they did get anywhere else, you don't know if it's like legit. It's come from like a different market and if it's actually real. So that's why we had to cure it in UK. Obviously it costs more, but you're getting the real stuff. So it's an amazing charity. And those of you who are interested, you can see all on my social media. I've got pictures of all the kids and stuff like that. And obviously I'm a big football fan, and obviously football's huge out there. Or soccer to those who are tuning in from over in the States.
Yeah. What football team is it though? People will switch off now. Huh?
For me,
it depends. Yeah, it depended on what you say now. If people will stay watching or not.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge United fan. I've been ever since I was a little nipper. But Manchester United. Yeah. So it's quite funny. Even over in Sierra Leone, listening to guys who are Liverpool fans and United fans, like having the heated arguments and that, and it's like, wow, even in the corner of Africa, there's people still arguing about who's better. So just goes to show you like how much effect the game has on people everywhere around the world. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a good thing for us to kind of, it's one of those things that goes further than culture, isn't it? It's, you can kind of go somewhere straight away. You can talk about, boom, football. Nice and easy to get in there. Wicked. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, AJ. I think we should get stuck into it. So for everybody watching, we hopefully will have Paradise Rodriguez join us, so Miss New York City. She is doing some volunteer work today in a hospital, and because of the quarantine situation out there, getting in and out of hospital, you've got to go through the decon and all that, all the rest of it. So she was in a queue that was supposed to take 2 hours, and she's been, unfortunately, in that same queue for 6 hours. So hopefully she will try and join us at some point. But just in case she doesn't, we'll move on for now. And then we might come back to a couple of questions. Or when she comes in, we'll give her the chance to introduce herself to everybody. But AJ, you seem like a pretty driven guy, right? What is it that, have you got a bit of a, like a morning routine or anything you do to kind of get up and go in the morning? Any tips you can give to people?
Yeah, I think especially at times like now, like you need to make routine your friend, because you can easily slip into that, you know, downward spiral of just getting into pure lazy mode. And if you don't start the day with a bit of drive, you know, it creeps into the rest of your day. And I'm a big believer in the old saying, like, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I believe if you start a day well, you know, the rest of your day will prove to go well as well, you know, 9 times out of 10. So getting up in the morning, like eating well, you know, doing some form of exercise. It doesn't have to like be strenuous exercise. It can be even something like a, you know, a couple of K's walk. It's just to open your body up and just get some fresh air into you, and then, you know, hydrate well, and have some really good food, you know, rather than just roll, you know, for those of you that are still working, you know, probably one of the worst things you could do is just roll out of bed, you know, brush your teeth and jump in the car all kind of stressed and flustered, and then eat a bacon sandwich on the way to work, because before you even get there, spending the majority of your time working for somebody else, earning money to pay your bills and put food on the table, you know, you're stressed before you even get there. And then you just end up bringing it all home. It just elevates throughout the day. So starting a day with a, you know, it doesn't have to be 4:30 in the morning. You know, I know you get some of these big entrepreneurs and stuff like that, like live and swear by that, but that works for them. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because, you know, Dwayne Johnson gets up at 4:30 and trains doesn't mean that, like, you have to as well, because then that will make you, you know, a superstar. It's not the case. Everyone's different. Everyone's body's different. And if it's something you need to work on, I definitely suggest doing it in little stages. So if you physically can't get out of bed before 7 o'clock, you know, don't set your alarm for 5:30. You know, set your alarm for 6:45, and then do that for a few days, and then set it at 6:30, and then 6:00, and then see how much you can, you know, you can physically get done from 6 to 7, whether that's like reading some positive information, your book of the week, or whatever it is that you might want to do, or exercise, and then you'll soon see the difference. And it helps you just get into that, you know, that positive pattern fairly quickly. You'd be surprised, like, you'll notice in yourself on how much better you feel and how much more driven you are for the day by giving yourself that me time in the morning. And like, part of that as well, unfortunately, I'm afraid to say, is, you know, not picking your phone up and then becoming just being a reactor straight away and just answering like as many messages as possible to other people, you know, other people's beck and call. You know, make that morning period about you, and you just be so much more focused, and you'll be so much more efficient and productive throughout the whole day if you start it in that kind of manner.
I really like that. I think you brought up some really good points. I completely agree. Routine is definitely our friend, and making small changes. It's not a case of, for some people, I totally agree 100%. If someone's used to getting up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and they go, right, okay, I'm going to get into this morning routine, I'm going to get up at 5:30 every morning, and they go from like 0 to 100, this is why they always, like, that routine fails. It's like New Year's resolutions. I'm going to try and do something. Well, when you try and do something, you always fail. I do the same as these entrepreneurs, to be fair. I do like a really big morning routine. I did it this morning, and it was mental. Like, normally my morning routine is maybe an hour or so, and I decided to add a few extra bits into it now. But it's a lot of commitment. You've got to do, like, for me to get through all of my morning routine and then start work, it's like 3.5 hours. It's mental. When you add the workouts in, meditation, reading, and everything else that goes along with it, it's quite a lot. It's a real kind of commitment, but you feel absolutely brilliant for the day. I would definitely recommend people do it.
My thing in that is, you know, that it's not initially, it's people say, like, well, that's not for me, or, you know, you got to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
But the positives massively outweigh the negatives in terms of, like, rolling out of bed and just throwing some clothes on. Like, you know, whether that your morning routine might only take an hour, but if what you do in that hour sets you up for the rest of the day to be twice as efficient, you know, there's so many more pros than cons So it's just a brainer. It's just people finding what works for them. That's all. Obviously taking ideas and, you know, listening to podcasts and, you know, looking at routines that other people do, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, just do what's right for you at the time. And it's going to help you and your journey for what you want to do, you know?
Absolutely. And if anybody's struggling to find a nice motivational podcast, it's really going to give you some drive. There's a great one called The Best of You Podcast. Really recommend it. So guys, check that out. But yeah, I think if people are struggling, try and find like an accountability partner. This is a really good way to do it for people that struggle. If you've got a friend and you're both in the same situation and you want to get into a morning routine, then figure out a routine that fits both of you and then become accountable to each other. So phone call in the morning. Right, are you ready to go? Yeah, I'm good to go. Bang. And then you get onto it. And that works really, really well. That's how I kind of started out. It's me and a guy called David down in Bicester, who runs a recruitment agency. And we decided to do it like that. And that worked really well for us. So, yeah, try and think about doing it that way. And I totally agree with positive influences in the morning. So if you can avoid looking at your phone, then please do. Do not watch the news. Do not wake up and look at the news. It's the worst thing in the world. It's not nice to see at the minute. There's nothing. I haven't seen any good press apart from Love Island was cancelled. But apart from that, there was no good press. So don't read anything.
That's the best news I've heard for the last few weeks.
I know. That's the only good news that's come out of the news, out of the media in the that I can remember, for as long as I can remember now. But no, AJ, wicked, some fantastic points there. The next point we're going to go on to today is, I've lost it. We did morning routine. Ah, right, we're up, we're ready, we're good to go. Now, what is it? Is there something that you've got or that you kind of drill into yourself that keeps you consistently driven? Or have you got any advice for anybody that's kind of feeling maybe a little bit lost at the minute? They've kind of got a bit of get up and go in the morning, but then they're starting to lose motivation within the day?
It all depends on what you're doing, I suppose. I think like you need to have a goal. You need to have something that you're focusing on and you're driven towards. So I think, you know, one of the first things you need to go is write those goals down. You know, by making yourself accountable straight away, you're going to be accountable to making the necessary changes or whatever you need to do to reach those goals. Do that first. Like, just make sure that you know what your goals are and where you want to go. Then one good thing I do, I've only done this in like the last year, because I used to be terrible for like scheduling and trying to do too many things at once. I used to like, you know, my wife used to say, like, look how many tabs on the screen you've got. I used to have like 20 tabs open on the screen.
Oh, I know.
And I was like, oh, crap, what am I going to do? So one thing I've got very good at now is making five priority tasks for the day, every single day, and only focus on them. And then once those five priority tasks are done, then I can, you know, I'll reply to other emails and stuff like that, you know, or messages and things that people want from me. But I always make the five priority tasks, like, first thing I do for the next day. I always write down those tasks that I want to achieve the next day, like, without fail. And it's really helped me massively to focus and to not multitask, because we're so much less efficient when we multitask. I don't care what people say. You know, we really are. I haven't met anybody that says, like, I'm an absolute ninja multitasker. And, you know, and we're blokes, so, you know, we're twice as crap. So,
true.
Yeah, so it's important to do that. So, like, write down what you're doing. And if you, with the goal side of stuff, with the goal setting, like, people kind of take it for granted. Some people think, you know, it's a bit cheesy, it's a bit this. But it's like, if we haven't got something we're trying to drive towards, which will then involve your, you know, personal growth, like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the old cliche goes, you know, if you're not growing, we're dying, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Like, so, a shot, keep moving forward or die.
Yeah, and it's just we've all got to have personal goals or something to strive towards, because you know, we're only going to get one shot at this this journey we're on, aren't we? So it's you know, it's so important to to realize that we use the maximum amount of time that we have to get the most out of it. And I love that saying that time is the most expensive currency in the world, and you know we'll never get it back. It's it's true in every sense of the word. And the more people realize that, I think the more people will utilize and value their time more rather than just waste it away or wish it away. Especially at a time like now, you know, there's so much opportunity at the minute for people to, you know, really focus on what you can do rather than what you can't do, because there's so much stuff at the minute that's just totally out of your control. And, you know, the sooner you totally realize that and focus on what you can do for you and your family or just yourself, you know, depending on what your circumstances are, the far better you're going to be at the end of this, and you know, in a far better position you're going to be, and even utilizing your time now to do more good than bad. You know, get on podcasts like this, like networking with people, that's a huge thing of I've got into over the last few years, and it's, you know, it's so recommended to get out there and speak to as many people as possible who are perhaps on a similar journey as you, or who are doing things that you want to do, and you know, and just learn from these people, because you've got an opportunity to have, like, you know, a billion mentors that are out there. You can have more.
We mentioned that this morning actually on the show for people that were looking for mentors, and this is so good at the minute now. Admittedly, there are a lot of mentors charging very, very high fees because they are very good and very experienced. But at the same time, there's some fantastic people out there that have maybe just sold their business or are just looking to just move career. So they've run a business for years and they've decided, okay, now I want to go into mentoring, because they get a lot more gratitude, a lot more personal satisfaction from that. And if you can find those people at the beginning of that journey, then they'll either be not very expensive, or they'll do it for free to build up their portfolio. So there are loads and loads of mentors out there. And I totally agree what you said about doing the goal planning and things like that. You need to have a goal. And never did we get in a taxi and go, yeah, cool, driver, let's go. Well, where are you going? I don't know. it won't make sense. But you're right, there is loads of opportunity out there at the minute. And for people that aren't working at the minute, whether they're on furlough and they're going to be going back to their jobs, this is a great opportunity to learn. It's also a great opportunity to do nothing. Like, for some people, when I say nothing, I mean literally nothing, but if you're at home with your family and you're in your 30s, 40s, 20s, whatever, it's going to be another like 30, 40, 50 years before you're going to get this much time off in one go to spend with your family and stuff like that. So take advantage of that time to spend it with your family, because we can look back on it in a few years and go, well, I could have enjoyed that a little bit more. Or learn a skill. Like, this is a great time to learn a skill. Learn how to do Facebook advertising for your business. There's a great academy that does it. Really recommend that as well. Or learn a language. If you've always been wanting to learn a language, learn a language. Learn how to play the piano, grab a guitar, whatever. Like, just do something. At least nobody wants to look back after this situation and go, oh, nothing good came out of that. And the worst thing I hate about a situation, and if people don't like what I'm going to say, well, suck it up, buttercup. Because basically, if you're sat there now saying, oh, well, I'm just going to wait for the storm to pass and everything to go back to normal, it's not going back to normal. Like, it's never going to be normal again. We're going to go back to a new normal. Everything's going to be different. So we may find ourselves coming out of lockdown, and it, for all intents and purposes, we could end up going back into lockdown later. So it might even come back. So for now, try and prepare yourselves for a business, set yourself up for a business that can run in this kind of situation, rather than go, I won't make any changes yet, I'll wait for the storm to pass and then we'll just go back to normal, because I don't think that's going to happen. And if anybody does that and they do it and we do end up going back to lockdown, then you've got no one to blame but yourself, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, and I think that's why, like I was saying before, like, just positioning yourself as best as possible now, and surrounding yourself with, you know, as much positive influence as you can. So, like, if that wasn't really your thing prior to this lockdown, now's a perfect opportunity to do it. You know, get on, you know, build up your LinkedIn profile, like, get on, you know, build those contact lists and see what other people are doing. And, you know, if you have been furloughed and perhaps you don't know if you're going to go, you've got a job to go back to, don't sit around waiting to see if your job's still going to be there. Like, actively see what else is that going to be potentially out there or is now already. Because what a lot of people don't realize as well is that regardless of what kind of job you've been in or what business you might have had that you might have had to close and stuff like that, you know, we've all got transferable skills of some sort. So like you're referring to before about, like, you know, picking up a guitar or learning a language or something like that, like all those little things that you can do over this period as well are all transferable skills. People don't realize that. It's not a case of like that being a good guitarist. It's being able to, you know, you've actually got a very good photographic memory because you can learn the chords very quick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's, but people tend to forget that. It's all like our motor fitness is just as important as our physical fitness. Mm-hmm. And again, it's another thing that you can work on. And I put a post on like Facebook and LinkedIn and that yesterday about, you know, positive vibes, positive mind, you know, and stuff like that. And I said that, like, we are what we allow our brain to consume. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big believer in that. So if you're just consuming the news, people complaining on Facebook because they saw someone go out of the house twice, and, you know, spending your time just doing all that stuff, you will be a negative person. But if you're consuming positive stuff all the time, surrounding yourself with positive people, building a really positive inner circle, which is so important, you will have a much more positive and productive life, like 100%. You know, I spent a lot of time, worked hard on that, just having positive influences around me, and the difference it's made in my life is, you know, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I think that is, there's a saying, isn't there? You are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. I think from a positivity and a kind of mental health point of view, that's so key. If you're around people that are consistently quite draining, I think we've had the term on this show before, mood hoovers. If there's people like that around you, you're going to get sucked down by it. It's tiring. Yeah. Whereas if you're around positive people, you'll find that you've got more energy and your get up and go is more there. You've got people you can speak to that are kind of like, hey, how you doing? I'm great. I'm really, really good to go. Let's get stuck in. Not with delusions of grandeur, naturally, but in a nice, positive way. Optimism is so key. Like, I love optimism. And I was speaking to a friend to this morning, actually, and a couple of days ago. Now, her business is in an industry where they're not in a position to trade at the minute. Now we don't know when that's going to come back, obviously. So what we did is we sat down and we kind of spoke about what her passion is, what she actually enjoys, like elements of the job that she really enjoys. And what we realized is she's been networking for like 18 years or something, consistently networking every day, running groups and all sorts of stuff, really, really busy, and absolutely loves it. So she put a course together around how to teach people how to network correctly through her particular structure. And now she's picked up like 9 clients within a week or something. And now not only is she doing something that is generating an income, but she's doing something that she actually likes a lot more now than what she was doing before anyway. So it's one of those things. It is such a time for opportunity and optimism. And
yeah.
If it allow you to find something you're passionate about and you actually enjoy more, then that's only a bonus, right?
Well, yeah, and you hit a few key points there, is the fact that she's A, found something she's passionate about, B, she's adding value, which is key, and C, she's almost solving a problem for a lot of people. You know, they're three like key elements to like any successful like business or venture, you know, and it's anyone's capable of it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anybody.
Absolutely. Well, let's go on to our next point then for the day, because we've touched on a couple of the elements, but let's go on to it. So I recently read this. I recently read it for like the 8th time. 7 Habits, Highly Effective People. I love habits, absolutely love habits. And that kind of teaches you around how to create habits, how to get rid of bad habits is another thing. Have you got any habits that you've got, AJ, that you kind of have instilled in yourself that make you more productive as a person, and that obviously that work really well for you?
I'd say, I don't know if it's so much of a habit, but I've always been quite well known for just being positive all the time, and it's only because I, you know, every situation we find ourselves in, always, if it's a problem, there's always a solution. So I've constantly looked at the solution, like immediately, like, how can I change this current situation to serve me better? And I guess you can call that a habit because it's instant subconscious. And that's something that I've evolved over the years. And I've always, you'll understand as well, like, especially from being in like military situations in, you know, places like Iraq or Afghanistan, stuff like that. Sometimes you're called upon to make quite drastic decisions under very high pressure. You go all guns blazing straight in and not really assess the situation, you know, you can get yourself and a lot of people hurt. So having that ability to kind of like not just start flapping, just, you know, step back, assess the situation, you know, like, and gain, you know, really gain some command and control over like what you are going to do, is quite a very good skill to kind of master. And again, it is a great transferable skill that you can apply to everyday life, and it will help you so much. So I'd say definitely for a habit for myself, it's just I always look at the positive outlook on every single thing that comes my way. It's a negative, always looking at the positive side of stuff all the time. And then instantly, if it is something I cannot control, I go the opposite direction. Like, I don't dwell on it, like nothing. I don't know if you know a chap called Jean-Pierre de Villiers. He's a really well-known speaker, lives in the UK. I had him on my podcast recently, and he was explaining that because he was knocked off his bike by a hit-and-run car while in a charity ride, and he broke so many bones in his body. Anyway, he was supposed to have some pins adjust in his leg during this COVID period. And he said, you know, they rang me up and it was like, look, you know, Mr. JP, really sorry, but we've had to postpone your operation and that. And he said, okay, boom.
Yeah.
What can I do? Like, nothing. So, and, you know, move on. I can still walk. I can still do this. I can still do that. And that's the same approach I've had on, you know, so many things. Like, same with this COVID thing hit, when my mother and my dad's pub unfortunately had to be shut. And, you know, I was there when they were told they had to shut it. And, you know, I basically tried to install that into my mum straight away. And she came around to it very quickly. I was kind of like, yeah, it feels better now that we know where we stand. And then let's focus on what we can do whilst the pub's shut. So obviously we need to generate streams of income and stuff like that. So like, how are we going to do it? You know, immediately. And that's the way I've kind of lived for a number of years now. And that is off the back of, you know, overcoming quite a lot of adversity and, you know, hardship in my life, and that as well, from my family as well. So, yeah, that's definitely, I'd say, one of my stronger habits.
I think it's a great outlook. I'm very similar in this. I think we both share that quite well. Is I always look exactly the same. And I love what you said there about if there's something you can't control, then yeah, literally, boom, done. Because I say that to so many people. Stop worrying about something that are completely out of your control. You can worry about it all day, every day. But if you can't change the situation, then why are you stressing yourself out about it? So I'm like that. I'm just so chilled. My girlfriend hated that. But such a true story. I'm just like, can't do nothing about it. Chill out. Which I think it's a great quality to have, I think. Talking of like the habits, I think one of the ones that always stuck out to me from that book actually was, and I think it's quite pivotal, especially at the moment, is a habit that they talk about called sharpening the saw. And going back to what we were talking about before, is sharpening the saw is taking time to reflect on yourself and grow as an individual. And you can do that in so many ways. And going to what you said about positivity, if people want to start doing this, then you can train yourself to be a more positive, outlooking person. Like, that's not impossible for people that are kind of generally miserable. You don't have to be like that. It's not forced. Like, you can be more optimistic if you want. Just try and see the bright side of as many situations as possible, really. And there is always a good outcome. I think this is the thing. Now, in the military, we're taught to improvise, adapt, and overcome. Aren't we? So for us, it's if there's a challenge and we need to get to the other side of that lake or whatever it is, and we haven't got any equipment, we will find a way. It's not, nothing's ever impossible. It's always, there's a way. We've just got to kind of figure it out. And I think doing command tasks and things like that was kind of part of that. Some of those things seemed bloody impossible, didn't they? Some of those command tasks were like, that is impossible. How am I going to get a barrel out of there with a piece of rope without knocking it over? Like the old circle one. I always remember that one. And actually, when you know how to do it, it's quite simple.
Yeah.
Like, it's that. It's a case of improvising and adapt. And yeah, overcome whatever the issue is that you've got. And businesses are doing this now. It's really, really nice to see so many businesses helping each other and passing on their knowledge and expertise, whether that's at a reduced rate or free. I know there's lots of advice going out there at the minute. I would be careful what you listen to, but in most cases, it is very good quality that people are getting there. So I think we talk about this when we talk about content and things like that. And I think we've got a couple of minutes. So if you're happy to talk about that, we will, because I know you create quite a lot of content. Mm. So for content going at the minute, we constantly say, right, just make sure when you're creating content for people, especially if you're a business and you're still putting stuff out there, regardless if you're still selling or not, make sure, and we've actually been saying it for years, it's not changed. Try and add value to people with your content. This will build more of a relationship. They'll get to know you. They'll build a bit of rapport with them. And if you're in a position to sell them later on, then you can sell them something. And obviously, it all comes back that way. But we always say, right, try and add value. Is there anything, because I know you've got fantastic content, AJ. Is there anything that you kind of stick to with your content or any advice you give people that are trying to put stuff out on social media in the minute?
Yeah, I think the sooner, I mean, if you're just starting out, like, you know, trying to make a name for yourself as like a public figure, I use that term lightly, but, and I won't use the word influencer because I don't really like it. I think it's been hampered and abused. Yeah. In fact, I'll use those two examples actually. So you've got an influencer, and I used it like that, of somebody who's got a well-toned body, is obviously very good looking and stuff like that. And then I use an example I seen on Instagram about a month ago of a young girl, I think she's in the States, early 20s, had a cake made for her that said 100K on it. So she was celebrating having 100,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I looked through her content and I used it as an example. And I didn't bash her on social media or anything else like that. I basically use it as an example to say, like, this person's got 100,000 followers, and honestly, it would be because of the way she looks. So she'll have a lot of guys and girls who think she's super hot and just go, cool, yeah, I'll follow her. Mm-hmm. None of her content, like absolutely none of it, showed you at all how she got to keep her body like that, you know, have good abs, have tight glutes, have, you know, nice, must, you know, toned back and all the rest of it, and then got to be an ambassador for X, Y, and Z company. Like, that's not value. That's not good content. So, and that's summed it up with celebrating they got 100,000 followers, because guaranteed, and this is what the problem is with social media, especially with the younger generation, is that at those 100,000 followers, it's probably a very large proportion of the girls, especially, that will feel massively, which creates a lot of low self-esteem, because they instantly compare themselves to people like that. Mm-hmm. If that person was a real influencer, somebody who actually adds value, that person would be showing all their followers, like, how they got like this, their mentality, their mindset, like what it takes to, you know, work on yourself daily to be like this, not just show the best 2 hours of your life, which is a lot of, these young influencers are doing. And that's why I don't like using the term influence, because I think it's heavily abused. Like, this period right now, I listened to Gary Vaynerchuk on a Ed Milet podcast the other week, which was both of them absolutely love. And he was saying, like, this period we're in now has massively caught out these influencers, because all of a sudden they didn't have content in the first place, and now they've got nothing to really post about. No brands to stand there and promote, because they're not even, you know, they've never even used themselves anyway. And it's quite, it's quite sad, really, because, like, you know, I've done and spoke to kids and, you know, through talks and stuff, and if you hear a kid saying, like, I grew up, I want to be an Instagrammer, or I want to be on Love Island, you're like, that's the problem that we're facing at the minute. Because of this large number of people that call themselves influencers. So when it comes to content, you know, you don't need to make yourself, like, suddenly become a big fish in a small pond. What you need to do is, like, you need to be 100% authentic, mate. Like, and I can't stress that enough. Like, just be your authentic self. You don't have to plaster all this stuff on your face and get injections here and injections there and, you know, try to be anybody else. The sooner you, if you want to deliver content, just acknowledge the fact that, you know, there can only ever be one you. Like, you cannot be anybody else, and nobody else can be you. So the sooner you realize that, the sooner you'll be your authentic self. And then you know what your strengths are, you know what your weaknesses are. And if people see your authentic life, that's what people want to follow.
Yeah. You know?
People don't want to follow all this fake crap and pictures, you know, me standing, you know, you don't see me standing there taking a selfie in front of a Lambo, passing it off as mine, or waving a, you know, a big pile of fake cash and all that kind of crap that you get these idiots doing. It's, you know, I show people real content, you know, and stuff that actually makes it, you know, will help you make a difference to your daily life, or whether it's even something to do with your routine, anything. You know, I think young mums are brilliant at this. Some of them are amazing at it without even realizing, you know, because there's millions and millions and millions of young mums out there that might find this period, that, you know, the early period, really difficult. My sister-in-law is fantastic. She's got three young boys and she's posting stuff every day on social media and that. And I'm like, this content is awesome. And she doesn't even realize she's doing it. And that's because that's what people want to see. And that's why the guests that I get on my podcast, for example, I like to call ordinary people doing extraordinary things, because they've overcome some adversity. They've been through some kind of trauma, and how they've got out of that, you know, from looking upwards, laying on their back, is so relative to millions of people out there. So that's why, you know, I love doing the podcast, because the guests share very relative information and value and content to all the listeners, because, you know, I've had people on there who've overcome breast cancer, people that have overcome really terrible accidents, friends that have been blown up in Afghanistan that have gone on to represent the country and all that kind of stuff. And that's what people want to see. That's what people love, you know. So if you're looking to start something, just make, you know, mold whatever you're trying to start around, like, who you are and what value you can deliver. Like, you don't need to go and post, like, motivational quotes from somebody else or, like, any of this stuff. You know, show people you at your worst.
I think that's amazing. I think you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. I agree with everything you just said. Absolutely, 100%. I think it is a bit of a worry. It does scare me, these vanity metrics that kids are trying to get likes and stuff like that. It does worry me deeply that I think there's going to be, especially like a time like now where they can't really do that so much and they're recycling old content, but also people that are influencers that rely on that for an income. And we're seeing more and more of this kind of fake influencer stuff where they're buying likes and all the rest of it, because that's quite easy to do, where they're creating almost a false facade around them and then trying to keep up that appearance. And that is very, very difficult. And I think this is where being authentic is so true. And for anybody that's not doing this but is thinking about doing something like a podcast or a show like this, if you want to try and become a fake person and try and do a show being a character, it's really, really, really hard work. It's tiring. If you're having to put on this all the time, and you'll find that I do two shows a day. If I was trying to be somebody completely fake and I was putting a suit on every day and putting a different accent on or whatever, do you know what I mean? I would be knackered, because holding that appearance up, and then all my social media content would have to go in line with it as well. It's just knackering. It's so much better to be authentic rather than, like you said, the pictures with someone else's Lamborghini or hiring a private jet in Russia for 600 quid or whatever, so you can sit, it doesn't even go anywhere. just so you can have a picture and look like you're in a private jet and look successful. It's all a load of crap. So I would say just don't do it. Just if you're authentic, people will like you. And this is one of the things that don't worry if people don't. This is, they're not paying your bills. There's a talk about quotes, great quote from Gary Vaynerchuk, don't buy things to impress people you don't even like. It's so true. Like, you don't even know these people. My mum says this to me all the time, which is quite strange, like, because she knows that I do quite a lot on social media. She's like, oh, if you keep, be very careful what you say, because you can say something wrong and then people won't like you. And I went, yeah, but for every two people that don't like me, there might be eight that do. So I'm playing the odds. It's going to win eventually because we're not faking it. So I totally mirror everything you said there, AJ. I think it is about being transparent. Like, if people could be transparent as possible, I think that's key. Show the worst side of you because people can relate to that. It's so good. And just create content that adds value to people. If you can do that, then absolute winner. Yeah. But we're just about up in time. So I don't think we're going to get Paradise on today, but I will get her on to another one for everybody, so don't you worry. But this has been a great show, and I really appreciate your time, AJ. There's been absolutely fantastic insights there that I'm sure people can take away straight away. So I do really appreciate your time. Guys, for everybody watching, if you've gained something today from what AJ's talked about, which I guarantee everybody has, then please make sure you tag someone in the comments. Pay it forward. We love this saying at the minute, and we talk about it every Thursday. So do pay it forward and share it with somebody else that can benefit from it as well, or tag them in it or share the whole thing with them. We will be back tomorrow morning with another show at 11 a.m. where we'll be talking about how to market yourself online with three more fantastic guests. So for now, we're going to leave it there. AJ, once again, thank you very much. To everybody who tuned in, thank you for watching. And remember, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. So make sure you check the comments for a link and just donate a little bit of money. That would be excellent. Okay, guys, thank you very much. Have a fantastic evening, and we'll catch up with you all soon. Peace out.